So if you can be seated, not sure what's going on with the reverb there. They'll get it sorted out, I'm sure. What we're going to do today is I've got two microphones set up, and I'd like to have some folks come up. We're going to pray on three different points today, and we're going to read some scripture and pray along those lines. Just in the wake and in the light of all that's going on with the coronavirus and all of the upheaval, uncertainty, confusion, while the 1 Corinthians study is certainly important, and I'm going to continue that. You'll see a Facebook Live video, probably a 15 to 20 minute version of that, come out this afternoon or sometime early in the week, looking at 1 Corinthians, the first part of chapter 6. We're going to continue with that, but I think that there are times when it's okay and needed for pastors to kind of break from the schedule, break from the norm, and kind of just call some focused time of prayer, call some attention to situations, maybe good or maybe not good. And this is certainly one of those occasions. Many churches, many of our brothers and sisters in the Lord, many of my fellow pastors have opted to not have service today, and that is okay. That's their call, and every church, every leader of a church has to make the best decision given their church's unique makeup, composition. Our church is a fairly young church, including Miss Nancy, just a kid over there. We love you, Miss Nancy, and no, but we have a relatively young, healthy age group here, and so we felt it was okay for us to go ahead, and given the bigness of our space, we could spread out and probably take enough precautionary measures to have our service today. But many churches decided not to meet, and that's all right. We are live streaming, of course, and many other churches are doing those things as well to continue engaging with the Lord and with the Lord's people. But today I wanted to call us to prayer. These three points are points that the Executive Committee, the Southern Baptist Convention, agreed upon. It would be important for all churches to take some time praying on today. So who would like to stand at one of these microphones and read Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, and then offer a prayer along those lines? Prayer for God's mercy.
Behold, the Lord God's hand is not short that it cannot save, nor is his ears so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made you separated between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, said he does not hear you. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much for your love, grace, and mercy that falls upon each and every one of us. And you are the Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are here before the creation of each and everything that we see in the universe. And Lord, you are going to be there in the end. But your mercy that's been given to us through your Son, Jesus, and all the things that we have through that, and restoration with our, with us and you, dear Heavenly Father, when the curtain was split and we no longer can be separated, had to be separated from you, Lord, we have direct contact with you. You know all things. You are all-powerful, and you have the power to heal. And we pray for, like, this pandemic that's been going across this world today, Lord, and the things that have happened. But, Lord, give us the faith and the strength, Lord, to stand up and still be faithful and courageous and fear not. But we know that these lives that we live are just temporary. We are just shields in the bodies of the Holy Spirit, and that we receive because of your Son, Jesus. And through your mercies and your love through us, Lord, we have everlasting hope, a hope that can conquer all our fears. I pray for all those countries throughout the world, Lord, that have this pandemic spreading. And I just pray, Lord, especially for the countries like in Africa that have a very poor health system, and there are very few doctors and very few hospitals, and billions of people. This pandemic can kill many, many people, Lord. But I pray that you give us the strength and the courage, Lord, to stand faithful, to help take care of our elderly and help take care of our neighbors. As it is, as it says in Mark 12, 30 and 31, love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And through our love for you and your mercies towards us, Lord, I just pray, Lord, you continue to give us a deeper faith. This is part of the sanctification process. When we go through trials, Lord, I pray, Lord, that these trials that we're going through will draw us closer and closer to you because of your son, Jesus, and all that he's done for us. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tom. Who would like to read Romans 13, 1 to 4? This is an opportunity for us to pray for our president, our governor, elected and appointed officials who are helping oversee the national and even the global response to this virus. The Bible commands us, regardless of preference, regardless of party, regardless of the person, we are to pray for those in leadership. And this is a chance for us to do that. And who would like to come and read that passage and offer a prayer? It doesn't have to be the same person. If you just want to read, you can read, and then someone else will pray. Who will come today and read Romans 13, 1 to 4? Spencer, thank you.
Every person is to be subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do you want do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath to the one who practices evil. Lord, just thank you for this time to be here together, Lord. I just pray for our government, Lord, and the authorities that are governing us, whether if it's a mayor, a governor, a president, the Congress. Lord, I just pray that they would seek wisdom and seek guidance, Lord, to properly take precautions for this virus and for the just the craziness that this scare has or infected virus has done, Lord. Lord, I pray for people that have even Christians that are one lean one side or the other as far as party and alliance. Lord, I just pray that they would be most importantly seeking to obey you and obey what you command, Lord, in Scripture, and to pray for their governors or the authorities, Lord, that govern us. Lord, I pray that they would put aside their political ideology and just Lord, pray for you to be show wisdom to the governors, Lord, and the governing powers. Just be able to pray for glorification of you, Lord. Lord, I pray you'd use this opportunity of this virus to show others while everyone's being scared and selfish. Lord, I just pray that you'd use Christians around people that are there, Lord, to just show unselfishness and grace and passion. You know, may pray, amen.
Amen. How gracious and good of God to give us government. In a fallen, sinful world, without it, we run unrestrained. We're like Cain, taking matters into our own hand, killing one another. But God is good, and He institutes government for our good, for our well-being, to restrain sin, to create an environment where the gospel can flow forth into the world and be heard. Even though governments are imperfect and leaders are imperfect, we can thank God for the good gift of civic authorities. Psalm 90, verse 12. Who would like to come and read that verse and just pray for wisdom, pray for the right perspective on situations like this, that we would have a godly and eternal perspective on that? Anyone? Thank you, Sarah.
So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. God, remind us that this life is not ours, that it's something that you granted to us. Remind us that our days are numbered, but that there is a purpose for each day, and that you have given us a job to do. And one is to love you with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul. And the next is to love our neighbor. And God, I pray that you will put that into perspective for us, that you will open our eyes to see where we can still serve the people in our lives who need you, and even those that already have you, that you can help remind us to serve our community, because that's why you've placed us here. God, if you wanted to save everyone in the world, you could do it right now. Mm-hmm. But you choose to use us, mm-hmm. as flawed as we are and as broken as we are. Remind us that this life is not ours, that nothing that we own is ours, that it is yours, that we are bought and we are paid for at a very great price. And that if we look at our lives that way, it's a lot easier to give, and it's a lot easier to love, and it brings a whole lot less fear. Because if it's not our life, God, it's yours, and that means that you're in control and your plan is good. You've told us that time and time again, that your plan is for the good. Mm-hmm. And that includes the good, the bad, and the ugly. And right now, God, we are in a situation that is ugly. But we pray that you will remind us that you are working for the good, and Amen. That you will open our eyes to see the good.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Sarah. I have not got a full-on sermon manuscript ready for you today to share with you, but I'd like you to turn to... Hey, did you say amen to that? Oh, my goodness. We might as well just dismiss now. No. Praise the Lord. There have been times, numerous times over the years, and Jeff, as a pastor, I know you've probably experienced those times where God just kind of, through circumstances, outer or inner, kind of changes the agenda. And that happened, of course, this week when we realized that things were going to change for us as a church this week and as a community, as a society, greatly in our efforts to stem the spread of this virus. And so Psalm 134 is where I'd like to go today. Psalm 134 is the last in a sequence of 15 psalms that are called the Songs of Ascents, the Songs of Ascents. I'll explain what that means in a moment after we read just the three verses of Psalm 134. The psalmist writes, "Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth." May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. May the Lord bless us as we consider these words today. This is a song. These words were to be sung by the Lord's people and ought still to be sung by the Lord's people, meditated upon. The Songs of Ascents, why are they called that? They're called that because, as we see in the Old Testament, the people of Israel were called to at least three times a year to make a journey to the center of their social civilization, that being Jerusalem. Jerusalem's the capital. Jerusalem was that former Jebusite city that when Israel came into the Promised Land was conquered and was made the capital. And on those festival occasions, being the Passover, it was a big national festival. Then 50 days after that, the festival of Pentecost. And then later on in the fall, the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. These were three occasions where all Israelites were to journey to Jerusalem, to come together, to congregate together at the Lord's house, to worship Him, to sing praise, to hear His word, and to be glad together. We have times like that, don't we, in our calendar? We have Easter, which roughly correlates with the Passover season. We gather. We try to gather with family at Christmas time as well. Our holidays don't exactly line up with the Jewish holidays. But there's just something that God has put within us, a desire to come together, a desire to gather around the truths that are absolutely central and foundational to who we are as His people, as His redeemed people. And of course, those three festivals have a lot to do with the journey of Israel from Egypt to the Promised Land and significant markers along the way. First of all, the Passover, being spared by lamb's blood from the death of the firstborn, that final plague in Egypt, and then Pentecost, and then the Feast of Booths after that, when all Israel would kind of go simple and they would live in tents in order to remind them of the tabernacle, the journey in the wilderness, and all those years that God provided for them by His own hand in the wilderness. We don't have these same festivals, but they are hugely important for us. This Song of Ascents, they're called Ascents because there's really not anywhere in the near geography of Jerusalem that you can get to Jerusalem from without going uphill. Jerusalem is a hilltop. It's not a mountaintop like Everest, but it is a mountain, often referred to as Mount Zion or the hill of the Lord. The Temple Mount in Jerusalem is a prominent high place, topographically speaking. And so these songs, these 15 songs going all the way back to Psalm 120, are songs of ascents. They begin the journey back in Psalm 120. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and He answered me, deliver me from lying lips. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. That's the starting point. As Israel began to collectively journey towards Jerusalem, to journey to that gathering place at the temple of the Lord. And then all the way through this sequence, you can see Israel calling out in times of distress, crying out in times of rejoicing as they journey together. And so Psalm 134 is the kind of the pinnacle. Everybody's together. And if you look at the wording of the psalm, it begins with come. It's an invitation. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. Now, some have wondered, okay, who are the servants of the Lord? And I personally, in my New Testament way of thinking, would argue that we can interpret that as all of us. In the days of the psalmist, though, it likely referred to the priests. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. And we interpret it that way in those days because of what comes next, those servants of the Lord who stand by night. The priests, the Levitical priests, were to attend to the altar and to the worship of God around the clock. They would take shifts. They would watch at night. Over in Psalm 127, the writer says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman or the night watchman stays awake in vain." Well, we know that we are priests, right? What does the New Testament call us? A royal priesthood, kingdom of priests, a holy nation because of Christ. And so when the psalmist says, "Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord," what's he saying? What does it mean to serve the Lord? We need to ask and ponder a question here. What does it mean to serve the Lord? Honestly, is there any thing that any one of us or all of us can do to serve God? Is there some need that He has that He expects us to meet? The answer is no. He doesn't need anything from us. When you speak and everything comes into being from out of nothing, you don't need anything. You're not wanting for anything. You're not lacking anything. And that, of course, is our God. Ex nihilo, out of nothing, everything and everyone has been made. God doesn't need anything from us. So what does it mean? This helps us interpret these words. Bless the Lord, servants of the Lord. It means worship. It means reverence. It is the outflow and the overflow of a heart that is glad in God, of a heart that is satisfied in who God is, that is fulfilled in God, that is found in God, that is at rest in God, that is at peace with God. And my theme today that I've just kind of been working on this week is peace in a time of panic. You look at the word pandemic. It's got pan and ick on both ends. And right in the middle is dim. And dim is the Greek word for people. People. Right in the middle of a pandemic, you got people. All around is panic. People in panic. We, brothers and sisters, we can stare at coronavirus or anything else with hope, with no fear. I don't want to get sick. I certainly hope none of our members or anyone get sick. I wouldn't wish sickness on anyone. But as Christians, those who are found in God, those who are at peace with God through Jesus Christ, we can approach this whole thing with no fear. We can extend care towards others with no fear. We can go outside and go for a walk with no fear. We can even go to the store with no fear, right? Matt and Sarah did that. They were, did you go to Sam's last night and picked up cleaning supplies so we could wipe everything down in here this morning? And it was, they were adding to the pandemonium at Sam's. No, wasn't bad. Wasn't okay. People were well behaved. What's that? You only got in one fight? What would you say? No, seriously. Isn't it crazy? I don't know that I've ever seen, we had to settle for white bread this week. Deborah called me from Walmart. Hey, you need to run up to Dollar General because they're out of bread here. I went up to Dollar General. All they had left was white bread. So, okay, we'll deal with white bread. I've never seen a run like this on basic needs like toilet paper, bread. It's panic. And what causes it? Fear causes it. Fear of the unknown, fear of the future, fear of sickness, fear of others, fear of China, fear of whoever, whatever. Brothers, sisters, calm. Please be examples of calm in your neighborhood, amongst your peers. If you go to work, be an example of calm. Don't be arrogant and don't be an expert on infectious disease. Just be calm and be trusting in Christ. And let that be a witness. Let that be a testimony. I envision these servants of the Lord, these who have come and been invited to come and gather and to bless the Lord, to say, Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, we adore you. I envision them there on that high place in Jerusalem, all gathered at the temple, kind of taking a look around them. I've never been to Jerusalem, so I can't say on experience, but I'm just guessing that it's kind of like being up on a hill, and around you can see that everything is kind of below you. Brothers and sisters, we need to stand on Christ, to stand on the assurance that we have through His blood. We need to stand on that high ground and see the circumstances and see the situation around us from that elevated vantage point. Ever been? I know, Jeff, you grew up in the eastern Tennessee. You've been up in the Smoky Mountains. You ever been above the clouds on a mountain, on a high hill? Maybe it's fog and it's all, and you kind of just feel alone up there, and it's kind of peaceful, isn't it? Everything else is down there. Everything else may be happening down there. But here, I can be alone. I can be at peace. My focus can be upward. That's where we need to be all the time, but especially in a time of panic. We need to be those people of peace who have an elevated vantage point on all things. And the greatest focal point of all is our Lord and His love for us. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. So first two verses there are commands. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Just kind of envision that. Standing. It's a position of honor. It shows reverence and respect. A private or a lower-ranking soldier never stands in the presence of a commander. We are servants of the Lord. We stand. Our posture is that of respect and reverence towards our God. Those who stand by night, keeping watch by night in the house of the Lord, nighttime, darkness, again, fear, watchfulness, alertness. God is calling us to have a watchful spirit, to be standing watch, praising, reverencing God, but also being mindful that darkness is about. So commands, come, bless the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. Again, these are empty hands. They're not full of good works or products that we have made in order to give to God, because He doesn't need any of that. These are just hands lifted in submission and surrender to the Lord. Let's let our hearts be fully submitted. Let's let our lives outwardly demonstrate a full submission to the Lord. He is our authority. He's in charge. I'm grateful for our governor and for our president and for our healthcare system and all of our doctors and nurses who are working to alleviate as much suffering as possible. But our care ultimately is up to the Lord. This says, I trust you. Israel, of course, we know was throughout its whole history a nation under threat, a nation threatened on every side by enemies. But Israel's greatest failings and defeats as a nation always came from within, didn't they? It came when Israel disregarded God, when Israel failed to stand in honor of God and chose to take matters into their own hands. Let's learn from that poor example, and let's be those who in these days of uncertainty, days of panic, those who entrust ourselves completely to the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. And then the third verse is not a command. It is essentially a request. It's an appeal. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. Again, He made it all. He didn't ask for our help, didn't need our help, doesn't need our help today to sustain heaven and earth. Everything is in His hand, including us, including our health, including our future. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. Whether it was the exact same hilltop, there are lots of kind of rocky hilltops in that vicinity of Jerusalem. Probably not the very same one, but we know that our Lord and Savior died on one of those rocky hilltops right there around Jerusalem. We could give a general term to that whole little area, Zion. May the Lord bless you from Zion. And has He not? Has He not blessed us? Beyond anything we could ever earn or deserve, He has blessed us from Zion through the blood of His Son. He has made us His own. He has restored us to Himself, and He so desires to restore our neighbors to Himself. But if we cave into the panic, if we cave into the pandemonium, if we treat ourselves like experts who've got a tidy little answer for everybody's everything around the lunchroom table, we're not going to be pointing to Him. We're not going to be offering Him as the answer and the solution. We're going to be failing in our witness during this time. It's a trying time. I won't minimize it at all. We would be foolish to minimize or to take this anything but seriously. But we also need to see it as a special opportunity. And we have examples. We can look back through church history and find great examples of our brothers and sisters, our Christian forebears. I was doing some reading this week. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, in 1854, great Baptist preacher in London. He had only been in his ministry for about a year at the time. He was quickly becoming the most well-known preacher and pastor in all of Great Britain. And there was a great cholera outbreak there in the squalor and slums of London. People were dying daily by the dozens and hundreds. And being the famous preacher on the rise, young, dynamic, charismatic, he had all throughout the week, he had preaching engagements lined up every day. He would preach at his pulpit on Sunday, and he had preaching engagements lined up all in the surrounding suburbs and small towns around London. And what did he do? When cholera hit, he said, all of that's canceled. I'm going to stay. I'm going to minister to the poor, the sick, and the dying. At great risk to his own health. And he did that based on the examples of Puritans a couple hundred years before him, who stayed in the cities when the plague hit Europe and cared for the sick, cared for the dying, buried the dead, and many of whom died themselves doing it. We have this great example. I'm not telling you to go and intentionally let people cough on you. I'm not telling you to try to go get coronavirus so you can suffer. No, but I am telling us and urging us to not be afraid of the coronavirus, but to trust in the Lord and to let ourselves be servants during this time. I put a call in to the Perry Food Center, and I know that there are other agencies that are helping with things at this time. I talked also with the Perry Service Learning teacher, the class that does the power packs, the pirate backpacks that go home with kids on the weekends so that kids who are in need have food over the weekend. They've done a big push to get a lot of extra meals in those backpacks so that kids who are now going to be home for 3 weeks straight will have enough to eat. So I've put ourselves on call to PSL, also to the food bank, to help. And so if I get a call, you may get a call that someone, some family is in need in our community, in our school system. I'm also on call with our state Baptist Convention Disaster Relief Coordinator, as I'm a regional person for the greater Cleveland area. So when local or state health departments call him with a need for, let's say, for example, a prescription to be picked up and taken to a senior adult, because of the taxing that's happening to the rest of the health system, there's a need for volunteers to help get food items, to help get medicines to those in need. So if my phone rings and there's a need across Greater Cleveland, I've got other churches across our area who are willing to help pick those things up. It's kind of an Amazon-like grab-and-drop process. We just leave it on the doorstep. We're not going to be called to go and care directly for anyone with coronavirus. But there's a lot of other people who need other types of care who we can help meet those needs. And so just be alerted this morning that you might be getting a call this week. There may be some ways over the next 3 weeks or longer that we as a church can meet real needs and have real opportunities. But take the initiative yourself and notice those around you in times like this more than normal. Be mindful of the senior adults that are around you. Just look in on them. Let them know you're thinking of them, that you're willing to help. And anyway, we can all help meet this need. Of course, minding all of the precautionary things about physical contact and germ spread, all of that. But let's be mindful. There are real things we can do that will help people find peace in a time of panic. We have to be the most peaceful people of all in a time of panic. So let's pray, and then we're going to sing one more song together. Father, we thank you for this picture in Psalm 134 of a people who have been brought upward, brought together to this high point, this place of gathered, focused worship. Lord, that can be us today. This can be our high point this week where we're gathered, we're together, we're focused on you. But Lord, your people Israel had to then go home. They had to descend back into their lives, back into their communities, back into the places of hurt and of need, of problems, and of illness. We too, Lord, are called to go back into those lower parts of the earth, back into the places where people are hurting, so that we can be your hands and feet, so that we can be peaceful, hopeful, joyful people amongst our neighbors in a time of panic. Lord, help us to do all we can to to stem the flow, to add relief, to add comfort to those in need. Help us, Lord, to continue praying earnestly and diligently for healthcare workers and administrative people who are helping to slow down the spread of this disease. Help us, Lord, to be praying for healing for those who are sick. That, Lord, we can, and Lord, help us to be witnesses for Jesus. This is going to create opportunities that normal day-to-day circumstances might not afford. Crisis always does, Lord. Help us to speak Christ in crisis. I pray this in His name. Amen. Let's stand together.